Scripture lesson of the day is from the Gospel of John, the first chapter, reading the first 18 verses. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.' From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is only God the Son, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as has been said a couple times today, Happy New Year, y'all. Have you made any New Year's resolutions yet? After this last year of sequestering in our homes from the pandemic, I think it might have changed a bit what we might hope for in 2021. I saw someone post this on Twitter. This person's New Year's resolutions were the following. One, to travel to the other side of the room. Two, wear a different shirt. Three, cut screen time from 12 hours a day to 11. Four, eat a vegetable. And five, bathe. That's pretty funny. But I think we're all glad to say goodbye to 2020 with all its disappointments and traumas. And likewise, we're all hoping and praying that 2021 will be a better year. You know, good things seem to be on the horizon, not the least of which is the approval and wide-scale distribution of a coronavirus vaccine, which brings with it the prospect of our being able to gather together for worship in our sanctuary sometime in this next year, and that will really be awesome. I don't think any of us will ever take again for granted the great blessing of being able to worship together in our sanctuary. And I do want to say to all of you who have started worshiping with us by radio, either locally on WLNC or on the internet, and those who are in different states, we hope that when we do begin gathering together again, that you'll come and visit us sometime here at Trinity Presbyterian Church in Laurinburg, North Carolina. We'd love to get to meet you and see you face to face and have you meet us. So keep that in mind as we get closer to a Sunday when we can fling open the doors and invite everyone into worship. But as far as this Sunday goes, I wonder how many of us have already taken down our Christmas decorations. Anyone? I bet for the most part they're still up, aren't they? In our home, we usually leave them up until New Year's Day and then gradually begin to take the candles out of the windows, the ornaments off the tree. Actually, we took our tree down yesterday afternoon. But really, we don't like doing it. We're loath to give up the atmosphere and the magic of the Christmas season. And I think in our worship, we probably also want to keep holding on to Christmas too, the birth of the Savior of the world, to Mary and Joseph in a stable in Bethlehem. All that wonderful narrative belongs to two of the four Gospels in the Bible, Matthew and Luke. And the Gospel of Mark, the one written earlier than the others, doesn't have anything about the birth of Jesus. He just shows up as a grown man getting baptized by John the Baptist and then goes off in the wilderness to be tempted. And then we have our Gospel for today, the Gospel of John, who has the earliest days of Jesus, yes, but not the story of Mary and Joseph in the stable and the shepherds. John has what you might call the cosmic origins of Jesus, Jesus at creation, calling the earth into being. And all it says about his birth is that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh. What does that even mean? No wonder we prefer to hear the stories of the baby Jesus, the child of Joseph and Mary. It reminds me of that movie, if you've seen it, called Talladega Nights, with Will Ferrell playing the race car driver, Ricky Bobby. And when he says grace at meals, he prays, "Dear tiny infant Jesus." And his wife, Carly, interrupts him, "Hey, you know, sweetie, Jesus did grow up. You don't always have to call him baby. It's a bit odd and off-putting to pray to a baby." And Ricky says, "Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best when I'm saying grace. When you say grace, you can say it to grown-up Jesus or teenage Jesus or bearded Jesus, whoever you want." And Carly says, "You know what I want? I want you to do this grace good so that God will let us win the race tomorrow." And then Ricky says, "Dear tiny Jesus, in your golden fleece diapers with your tiny little fat balled up fists, dear 8 pounds, 6 ounce newborn infant Jesus, don't even know a word yet, just a little infant so cuddly, but still omnipotent." I think like Ricky Bobby, we like to hold on to the tiny baby Jesus, the Jesus of Christmas morning. And maybe that is why the lectionary gives us two Sundays to talk about it. Today is the second Sunday of Christmastide. And I like that part of our faith, where for the big events like Christmas and Easter, we get to spend more than one Sunday thinking about what it means and how it applies to our lives. But today's lectionary reading takes us away from the manger in Bethlehem. And we have Jesus appearing even before that. We have Jesus at the creation of the world. The Gospel of John starts very much like the book of Genesis when it says, "In the beginning," verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Then all of a sudden you have this jarring pronoun, "He." "He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being." So no wonder, as a man, Jesus could walk on water, still storms, and raise people from the dead. All things came into being through him. He made them and knew how they worked. And then it says something really important for us today. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. So the overriding characteristic of Jesus is that what was in him was life. And that life wasn't just for the Jews or a narrow circle of Jesus' friends. That life was for everybody. You, me, our friends and our families. In him was life, and the life was the light of all people. And then we come to the verse I want to focus on. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. How about our New Year's resolution? Is that in 2021 would be that instead of focusing on the darkness, we will look for the light. Let's look for the light of Christ in 2021. Make no mistake, there will still be plenty of darkness in this new year. We didn't leave it all behind in 2020, but let's resolve that we make it our practice to look for the light, even when it's hard to find. But remember, it's much easier to focus on the darkness, for real, than to expect to see the light. So I'll give you an example of this. When I was playing in that Christian music group Seeds, right after I graduated from Wake Forest, one of the ministries we visited and played for was called Teen Challenge in New York City. It was founded by a guy named David Wilkerson, who had been led by God to start a ministry to the street gangs in the city. He had written a book about it called The Cross and the Switchblade, which I had read, about his experience reaching out to a gang called the Mau Maus and their leader, Nicky Cruz. Eventually, Nicky Cruz and his entire gang had accepted Christ and become evangelists themselves. The book, The Cross and the Switchblade, became a movie with Eric Estrada as Nicky Cruz and Pat Boone as David Wilkerson. When we visited and played at Teen Challenge, neither of those guys were there that day, but plenty of other people were, former gang members who had become Christians because of the ministries and testimonies of David Wilkerson and Nicky Cruz. A few months later, I boarded a plane to Tallahassee where I was going to visit Annette at Florida State. And as usual for those days, I carried my Bible openly. I'd like to tell you it was because I was so spiritually mature and just loved to read my Bible. But truthfully, I carried it because I found it kept strangers from talking to me. And I could usually get through entire flights without being bothered by anyone, which is the way I liked it. On this particular flight, as people were boarding, I noticed a man staring at me as he walked past my seat up the aisle. He had a scar on his face, and he looked really mean and cruel. He sat down about three rows ahead of me, and as he stood to put his jacket in the overhead bin, our eyes met again. That kind of freaked me out, so I broke eye contact immediately, opened my Bible, and pretended to read it. Usually, that would keep most people from messing with me. In that moment, though, I felt this overwhelming sense of darkness come over me, an awful awareness that the world was full of predators like this guy, everywhere, all over the place. I began to pray for protection. And then I began actually complaining to God, Lord, why do I always run into these kind of people on my flights? Why are there so many evildoers in this world you made? Why can't you let me have some kind of encouragement or Christian fellowship when I travel, like just a normal conversation with another Christian that would build my faith? And worse than that, now I got this weirdo nut job making eyes at me. Right then in my peripheral vision, just over the Bible page, I could see the guy shut his overhead bin. And instead of sitting back in his seat, he came walking down the aisle toward me. So I really buried my nose in the Bible then, not reading anything, just hoping he would pass on by. Slowly, I realized that he had stopped right by my seat. I looked up, and he was smiling, and he had his hand outstretched for me to shake. So afraid not to, I took his hand and tried to smile back. God bless you, brother, he said. I was dumbstruck. God bless you too, I stammered back. I see you're into the word. That's great, he said. His hand was bigger than mine and warm. I nodded. He continued smiling, and he didn't look quite so cruel anymore. That's awesome, brother. My name is Nicky Cruz. Keep reading your Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit. I couldn't believe it. It was Nicky Cruz, the Nicky Cruz, the guy I thought was so evil that was coming to get me, was Nicky Cruz from Teen Challenge, from The Cross and the Switchblade. The evildoer I thought was making eyes at me. Nicky Cruz was encouraging me to read the Bible. Whereas before, I thought there was so much darkness. Now, there's nothing but light. And I thought that I could hear God very faintly in the distance laughing. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. While I was focusing on the darkness of the world, I missed the light that was in Nicky Cruz. who was not a weirdo nut job, as I so charitably called him, but a Christian brother wanting to encourage me in my faith. Our New Year's resolution is that instead of focusing on the darkness around us, let's look for the light of Christ. As you can see from my experience, it's a lot easier to focus on the darkness, like I did, than to look for the light. Verse 9, the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God. The true light was coming into the world. In this new year we're in, 2021, we will have to consciously look with searching eyes to see God's light in our world. When Jesus was born, God in the flesh was living and breathing and walking around, and the very people who were supposed to be looking for him to come didn't recognize him when he stood right in front of them. Even when he told them straight up who he was, they arrested him and condemned him for blasphemy. I hope that in this year, we don't make the same mistake the Hebrew people made. I hope we don't assume that God will be ever and always absent from our world, especially when things look really dark. We're awfully glad to be done with 2020 and the darkness it brought, but let's be aware that this new year won't be all sweetness and light either. There'll continue to be some dark times in 2021 as more and more people get COVID, as hospitals are overrun, as ICUs fill up and more people die. It will be easy to ask, where is God? Has God left us on our own to fend for ourselves? The old Latin term is Deus Escondicus, the absent God, the God who has gone away. How will we keep our New Year's resolution to look for the light, even when it's dark? This past week, on New Year's Day, a clergy friend of mine, Mindy Douglas, posted this quote on Facebook, which I think is perfect for our lesson today. Quote, words for 2021 from Frederick Buechner. I discovered that if you really keep your eye peeled to it and your ears open, if you really pay attention to it, even such a limited and limiting life as the one I was living on Rupert Mountain opened up onto extraordinary vistas, taking your children to school and kissing your wife goodbye, eating lunch with a friend, trying to do a decent day's work, hearing the rain patter against the window. There is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or not recognize him, but all the more fascinatingly because of that, all the more compellingly and hauntingly. I love that. There's no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or not. It's our choice, you see, to look for the light, or it's our choice not to. Maybe because we don't expect to see Christ in our everyday lives, we don't see Christ there. I sure as heck didn't expect to see Nikki Cruz on my plane flight, but I did expect to see a weirdo nut job. So that's what I saw. And if he hadn't taken the initiative to walk back to my seat and shower me with the light of Christ, I would to this day still think there was nothing but darkness in the plane that day. But there is no event so commonplace but that God is present within it, always hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or not. We see what we expect to see. So let's expect to see Christ in our everyday places this next year. The Reverend Dr. Amy Butler, interim senior minister of National City Christian Church in Washington, D.C., commenting on today's passage, remarked, the writer of John would say that our task now is to pay attention, to look for the light, to hope that we will somehow be people that will know him when we see him. And then she tells this true story that happened. In January of 2007, wearing a baseball cap and jeans, Joshua Bell, a then 40-year-old one-time child prodigy who commands enthralled audiences, who packed the world's most prestigious concert halls, paying hundreds of dollars for seats to hear him play his violin, stood against a wall next to a garbage can in Washington, D.C.'s L'Enfant Plaza metro station. he'd agreed with the staff of the Washington Post to try an experiment where he would play a 45-minute concert on his $3.5 million Stradivarius violin during rush hour, propping his case open with a few coins to seed the pot to see what would happen. He started his concert with a little bit of Bach and then Schubert's Ave Maria, and he kept going for the whole 45 minutes, during which a videotape recorded 1,097 people walking past him. You can watch the video online, and you can see that for the entire 45 minutes, he never attracted a gathered crowd. People were rushing too fast to get to wherever they were headed, and no one stopped to listen. At the end of his agreed-upon 45 minutes, Bell had collected $32.17, including the seed money he had thrown in at the beginning. All in all, only one person of the 1,097 people who passed by Joshua Bell in the L'Enfant Plaza metro station that morning recognized him. Stacy Furukawa, a demographer at the Commerce Department, had been in the audience 3 weeks before when Joshua Bell had played at the Library of Congress. After hearing him in the metro, she said to a reporter later, "This is the most astonishing thing I've ever seen in Washington." She said, "Joshua Bell was standing in the metro station playing at rush hour, and people were not stopping. They weren't even looking. And some were flipping quarters at him. Quarters! I wouldn't even do that to anybody. I was thinking, oh my gosh, what kind of city do I live in that this could happen?" And the Reverend Dr. Amy Butler continues by saying, "What kind of world do we live in, I wonder, in which we miss altogether the hints of light and hope that remind us that we are not here on our own, that the very presence of the divine God that was in the beginning and who will be into all of eternity is here right now with us, because Christmas is just another nice cultural tradition unless we become people whose lives are marked by careful attention to the miraculous and all around us." The Christmas story is a nice one to tell, but a new year has begun, and Christmas won't roll around again for a while. Today, the Gospel of John invites us to remember the Christmas story against its cosmic backdrop. If we do that, chances are we'll train our eyes to squint through the darkness around us, looking as carefully as we can for any hint of that light John describes. And if we begin a new year resolved to look for God with us, I guarantee we'll begin to find God in the most unlikely of places, even in us. Unquote. Think about where we all were at the beginning of last year, January 3rd of 2020. We had no idea what was about to happen, no conception that in a few short weeks the coronavirus pandemic would totally change our world. And now, January 3rd of 2021, we think we see the light at the end of the tunnel, a coronavirus vaccine being distributed around the world. But my question is, what don't we see today that is going to happen this next year? What can't we see? There's so much that's unknowable, always has been, always will be. But I tell you who is knowable: Jesus Christ. We don't know the future, but we know the one who holds the future. There's a great old gospel song I want to close with that says, "Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know, he holds the future. And life is worth the living. Just because he lives." We know the living God who holds the future. That is the hope we cling to. We know Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, and Jesus holds our future. We know Jesus who will walk into that future with us. We know Jesus who will help us live in that future. For all the uncertainty in our lives, our health, our job, our family, our church, our grief, our isolation, in all of that, we know Jesus Christ, the light of the world, and he holds the future. There is no event so commonplace, but that God is present within it, always hiddenly, always leaving you room to recognize him or not. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us pray. O Lord, let your Holy Spirit reign in our lives. Give us your peace to trust you, to know you're with us in everything we encounter. Help us to see your light in our darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.